Scripture reading this evening is number 5, is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 38. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 38. This is the word of Almighty God, the creator of the universe and the judge of all men. Listen carefully to his words tonight. Actually, there's a misprint in the bulletin. It should start from verse 5, the scripture reading. From verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And then going down to verse 25. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable: "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. May God bless his word as we consider it in this message tonight. As I was preparing to lead this worship and thinking about what I might preach, I wondered what would I say if this was going to be my last sermon at Cornerstone? It is at least the last before going overseas again. In Luke 21, verse 5, the disciples are back on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. They're admiring the beautiful stones of the temple across the valley, the gifts dedicated to God that decorate those walls. But Jesus answers them, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." These things, this temple you are looking at. "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" Now take note of these questions, because they're the key for understanding this chapter. First, Jesus says, or the disciples ask, when will these things happen? That is, when will the temple be destroyed? When is an army going to come and pull down all of these stones? And then the second question, what will be the sign that this is about to happen? In Mark chapter 13, verse 4, there's a parallel text, and we have the very same two questions. When will these things happen? What will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? When will the temple be destroyed? They're asking, in the disciples ask in Luke and in Mark. In Matthew 24, verse 3, Matthew records one of these questions. When will this happen? When will the army come and destroy this temple? But then they have another question that is recorded only by Matthew. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? As we draw closer to the time of the end, it is very important for us to think more about the coming of Christ. Times will become more difficult. It would be nice to say from the pulpit that it will be easier to raise our families in the fear and knowledge of God as that day approaches, but it will probably not. The scripture warns repeatedly that difficult times will come. As the world seems to collapse around us in the course of self-destruction, it is bent on, an encouraging word is given to us by our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 21. When times are at their worst, he says, "Stand up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." But only in Matthew we see this other question. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Many Bible interpreters today read these three chapters from the three Gospels as if all three chapters only describe the end of the age and the second coming of Christ. Yet in two of the Gospels, this question is not even mentioned by the Gospel writers. They're only asking in those two Gospels about the destruction of the temple, which happened in 70 AD. In Luke 21, this is the question that Jesus is beginning to answer. He comes to the question that's mentioned only in Matthew, when will be the sign of your coming, which is really the main part of our message tonight. But first he answers the question, when is the temple going to be destroyed and the stones pulled down? What will be the sign that precedes this from this happening? Christ says many things will come that are not necessarily the sign of this destruction. In verse 8, false Christ will appear. Verse 9, wars and revolutions will come all through the earth. These must happen first, Jesus says, but the end is not yet. And then Jesus speaks of wars and earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful events, signs from heaven. In verses 12 through 19, he warns the apostles that they themselves will be persecuted and will be brought before kings and governors and hated by the nations. Finally, in verse 20, he tells the sign that precedes the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. In verse 24, Jesus concludes, Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles is this long period that we have been living in from 70 AD to the present day. Before Christ came, it was the times of the nation of Israel. And that was the focus of the entire Old Testament. After Christ's death, the times of the Gentiles began and continues to the present day. The New Testament is focused on bringing the gospel to the Gentiles and planting the church among them. This one statement, the times of the Gentiles, is a gap of many years. 2,000 have already passed. That began with the destruction of Israel. Even though there is a restored nation of Israel today, it is still the times of the Gentiles. Jesus describes the end of these times in verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In this passage and in the verses that follow, the Lord Jesus prepares his people for the end of the age. These are not words for science fiction movies or popular fiction page turners. The Lord Jesus speaks to his people to encourage us to always remember that when the night is the darkest, the light of dawn will soon come. So let us consider first the signs of Christ's coming. Secondly, the suddenness of his coming. And thirdly, the security of watching for his coming. In Matthew, the disciples asked that question, "What are the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30 through 31, Jesus answers, and he says it comes after a time of great tribulation. Reading from Matthew, "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." The Gospel of Mark is nearly identical. Both Gospels agree with the account we find in Luke, but Luke's wording is somewhat different. Shall we identify the signs looking at these passages? The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will appear to fall from their positions, or Jesus may be describing a great meteor shower, burning meteors. Luke writes that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. These signs will be so dramatic, so powerful, not only in our own solar system, but throughout the vast universe, that the earth, all the peoples of the world, will tremble in fear. Luke 21, verse 26, "All the nations will be in anguish, and they will be perplexed at the roaring and tossing of the sea." We know of ocean tides. As the moon circles the earth, that strong gravity pulls the ocean water first in one direction and then the other. But the roaring and tossing of the sea described here looks like some great power pulls the moon out of its normal orbit, a sign in the moon, so that it comes closer to the earth and farther away, and the tides are no longer gentle, but the waters of the earth roar back and forth, and they probably sweep onto the low-lying continents. Now we know that God doesn't need the moon to do this. He can control the waters. No earthquake is needed for him to bring a tsunami when he takes all things in the universe under the control of his mighty power. The signs both on earth and in heaven will be so great, Luke writes in verse 26, that men will faint from terror. Their hearts will fail them, apprehensive. What is coming on the world? The heavenly bodies themselves, the sun, moon, and stars, will be shaken by the infinite power of Almighty God. In Exodus 19, you remember it was God's mighty voice that spoke from Mount Sinai and shook the very earth that the people were standing on. In Hebrews 12, verse 26, the Lord declares, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This implies that the Lord's voice will be heard again, but now thundering from heaven itself. Now the very heavens themselves will be shaken by that mighty voice. With a great call, Christ will send forth his angels to gather his elect. The prophet adds that the words "once more" or "only one more time" indicate the complete removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken, God's eternal kingdom, may be the only thing that still remains. Peter says, the earth and everything in it will be burned up. The elements will melt in fervent heat. In Isaiah 24, verse 19, the earth is broken up, split asunder, and thoroughly shaken. So heavy is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. Jesus himself says in Luke 21, verse 33, in this passage, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Is it any wonder that men's hearts will fail them in that day? Shall we be surprised by Revelation 6, verse 16, where the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and free man are hiding in caves and among rocks, crying out, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? That will be a day of great power and glory. God will hold back his patience no longer. In that day, he will reveal to all creation who is the Creator, the Sovereign, and the Judge of all men. The proud of the earth will fall, and they will be the ones to say that the judgment day of the Lord Jesus and his heavenly Father have come to the earth. But how will they know this? The second part of our message, we consider the suddenness of Christ's coming. Matthew writes, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, in the heaven. While everyone is perplexed, asking, what's happening to the universe? Everything is falling apart. Is the world coming to an end? Their eyes will all be lifted to the heavens, looking at the violent movements and signs in the stars. And suddenly an unmistakable sign appears. Will it be a cross like the sign that Constantine saw when he was converted to Christ? At the time when he turned from paganism? Or will the lights of heavenly bodies form into some words identifying Christ? No one will know until that day. But when that day comes, all the earth will say together, it is the sign of the Christian God. It is the sign of Jesus Christ. Jesus said many times, behold, I am coming quickly. When his sign appears, there will be no more time for the earth. Matthew, Mark, and Luke agree then that then at that very time, the people will see not only the sign, but the brilliant glory of Christ himself coming in the clouds with great power. In Luke 21, verse 34, Jesus warns that for those who are not ready, that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. A trap springs shut suddenly. The whole world will be taken by surprise. Will there be any time to repent in that day? Jesus adds in verse 35, that day will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. And yet there will be security for those who are watching for Christ's coming. Let's consider what this watching is in the last part of this message. We've brought together some text to give some sense of that day for those who can receive these words. But the scriptures were also written to hide what they reveal. The Lord has so designed his word that we can never be absolutely certain that we are near the end until it comes. Nor can we be sure that we are not near the end. Every generation believed the end was very near as they faced the tribulations of this past 2,000 years. The Father wants all believers to live with readiness, to live godly and faithful lives in every age, whether facing trials or living in peace. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke were designed to make the church think the end of the age would come soon after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. This is the reason that preterists are able to develop arguments saying that everything in these three chapters was fulfilled when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. But if we look closely, it becomes clear that the signs of the coming of Christ are not the earthquakes and famines and wars that have ravaged the earth since the fall of Adam. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 6, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. And he adds in verse 8, all these are the beginning of birth pains, not the end of them. We can look at all these horrible realities and know that the end must indeed come. In fact, the end will come because Satan wages war against the church to demolish it, to destroy the children of God from all the earth. Finally, the Lord will answer those saints that we see gathered under his altar in heaven as they cry out in Revelation chapter 6, in the breaking of the fifth seal. They are underneath the altar and they cry out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And the Lord answers them. He says, rest a little while longer until the full number of your brethren who are to be killed, even as you have been, has been completed. The time will come when that number is fulfilled, when the beast has finished waging war against the saints and overcoming and slaughtering them. I believe the beast described in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 rises from the Middle East as a great empire that tramples all nations. But the day will come when that will be finished, and then the end will come as judgment from heaven. The signs that the world will see in the heavens will be a message from heaven that the day of wrath has come. Christ is judging the earth's people for destroying his people, the church. And the signs of his judgment against the kings and the commanders of the earth will be unmistakable. Things that have always seemed stable to us, things that we have used for guiding our movements around the earth for thousands of years, the stars, the moon, will be thrown into confusion and disorder. But the Lord says to those who are living in that day, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, right at the door. Matthew 24, verse 33. Luke records additional words that Christ spoke. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. What things? The powers of heaven shaking, men's hearts failing in terror of what is happening to the earth and the heavens. Even before the great sign of Christ appears in heaven, you will know that his time is very near. Jesus said in verse 32, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, some have thought these words refer only to the generation of the disciples themselves. But how can that be right? That entire generation passed away almost 2,000 years ago. And the heavens are still not shaken. Others translate this word generation as race, meaning the Jewish people will not all perish from the earth before the end comes. I believe it simply refers to the generation that begins to see these powerful signs happening. And Jesus says, this generation, when the signs begin, will not pass away before Jesus comes. In Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The very power disrupting the heavens is your Redeemer, who gave his life for you. Even if it is a terrifying time, a time of great calamity, Resurrection Day will soon follow. As believers, we can face death itself, knowing that real life is only moments away. In verse 29, Christ used the parable of the fig tree. And yet, look what he says in Luke. He says in verse 29, the fig tree and all the trees. Learn the lesson of the fig tree and all the trees. Some have thought this means the nation of Israel, but the phrase and all the trees means that not only fig trees, but every kind of tree that there is that sprouts annual leaves can fit this parable. In verse 30, he says, when they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. It may be still cool weather when leaves start sprouting, but summer will come very quickly, right? Even so, says Jesus, when these signs in the heavens and on the earth begin, know that the kingdom of God is very near. This generation that trembles at the tossing and roaring of the seas will not pass away before your Redeemer comes. In fact, the beginning of the signs and his actual coming will be so close together that the people of the world will be taken by complete surprise. So Jesus doesn't tell us how to live in that day. When these signs begin, no, right now you must get yourself ready. If you wait until that day, it may be too late. Verse 34, Jesus says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. The first word, be careful, is better translated, beware, guard yourself, pay attention. Guard yourself, pay attention, so that you don't get weighed down with these three things, dissipation, drunkenness, and life's anxieties. Dissipation and drunkenness are two words that just go hand in hand. In fact, the Greek word for dissipation here means the bad things that people do when they get drunk. A drunkard has no moral restraints. And why will people give themselves to drunkenness and immoral living in that day? Jesus speaks as if this will be the pattern everywhere in the world. Drunkenness will be rampant. People everywhere will be drowning the anxieties of this life in the bottle. Life will become very hard. Hope will be hard to find. Maybe government pressures, economic hardships, a world of war, and oppression of the people. If you are not on your guard, if you do not keep watch, you will throw away your moral standards like the drunkards of the earth. Not long ago, I saw an amateur documentary of Sweden where Muslim refugees were brought into the country in great numbers. And now the people realize they will soon overpopulate the Swedish people. The producer was lamenting that now all the Swedish young people try to relieve their fears by going to drinking parties every evening. Jesus says, don't follow their example. That day, he warns, will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. So how should we respond as life's troubles rise all around us? Jesus says, be always on the watch. Pray. Watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. It is not a time for us to get drunk and join into wild orgies. Not a time to say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. No, Christ warns us that life's anxieties are a sign from God, that we must be always watching and praying. It is a time for increased devotion and zeal for Christ and godly living. Your Redeemer is drawing near. Get ready to see Him. Wake up. Get serious about your faith. The end is coming. Everything will come to an end. Let us not be afraid that we will die in that day if we live for Christ. Death is friend only to Christians who have the blessed hope of a better resurrection living in our hearts. Watch yourself. Live your faith. Lead others to believe. Strengthen the weak with words of grace and eternal life. Give attention to these things. Watch and pray, says Jesus. You serve a powerful God. He is the sovereign God who appoints the rampaging beast empire to trample the earth and to wage war against the saints and overcome them. He's also the one who has set a date for the beast to be thrown into the lake of fire at the coming of Christ. Are you worried? Well, then pray to Him more. Learn to go to the inner room and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Nothing is impossible to God. So, are you concerned about your children, your grandchildren? Then pray. Are you afraid of what is happening in government? Then pray. Are you worried about changes in the earth, in the nation? Instead of forgetting those troubles with a bottle, take your burdens to the Lord and watch and pray. Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. While the world is coming to an end, and all the earth gets ready to meet an angry God, prepare to stand before a Redeemer. Who knows how He will answer your fervent prayers and do great things, even in the darkest times that you do not know? Watch and pray. Let us pray.